love how that song kind of sounds like a storm. Did you hear that? The hallelujah. Kind of feel like raindrops, storm passing over. And I once saw a choir singing that song, and their director was teaching them that song. And one part was so loud that you couldn't hear the other part. And she said, now, guys, the storm is passing over, and I can't hear the sopranos. You got to keep moving. So sometimes when we learn songs like that, we have to remember that the storm, just like the storms in our lives, pass over, and we all have our part to play. Well, today my homily starts with a story about a wedding. So I once led a wedding a long time ago where everybody had to bring the most unusual thing I've ever seen anybody have to bring to a wedding. Everybody was told they couldn't come to the wedding. Well, they could come to the wedding anyway, but they were supposed to come to the wedding with a stick. Now, that sounds like kind of a funny gift to bring, right? Just to bring a stick. But everybody at one point during this wedding had to bring their stick to the front, and they had to place it, and they made a huge pile, a bundle of sticks. And in the middle of the ceremony, it was my job, this was probably the hardest part of the whole thing for me, I had to tie the bundle together so that they wouldn't fall apart all over the place. I was a little worried the sticks were going to go fall everywhere. But the whole point of bringing all these bundles together was because we realized if you just have one stick and you try to break it, it's usually pretty easy, right? Unless you pick like a huge branch or something. But if it's a small stick, you can break it. But when we put all of these sticks together, when all the people who came to the wedding brought a stick and added it to it, you couldn't break that bundle. It had probably, I don't know, 50 sticks. You think you could break it? Patrick thinks he could break it anyway. And Patrick might be stronger because he was a triceratops last week. But most of us could not break that bundle of sticks. And the idea that the wedding couple had was that helped them remember that each of them is a tree, but they have a forest of friends that are there to help them and support them no matter which storm happens to be passing over. And I really loved that image. That whole group of trees is stronger than just one standing by itself. And we live, I think, in a culture that tells us that we'd be better off by ourselves most of the time. And I think that idea has kind of crept into the way that we see our families sometimes, too. And several years ago, I was reading this essay that I just love, so I thought I'd share a little part of it with you today. It was a little essay by a woman named Rika Sharma Rani. And the essay is entitled, The Perils of Stranger Danger. The Perils of Stranger Danger. And this is what she wrote. She says, one of the first lessons that many of us learn as children is don't talk to strangers. We like to say that it takes a village, but we're scared of the villagers. And so we erect boundaries around ourselves and our children. And the message to our fellow citizens is clear. Hands off my child. It's not like this everywhere. On a recent trip to Mexico, my family and I were picked up at the airport by a man and two women from the taxi company. As we started toward the car, one of the women wordlessly reached over and pulled my 10-month-old daughter, Janavi, out of my arms and into hers. She then continued walking to the car, reciting nursery rhymes to my daughter in Spanish as she went, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. On another trip, this time to India, my now 1-year-old daughter was enraged at being kept in her stroller while my parents and I ate lunch at the hotel restaurant. Seeing that she wasn't letting us eat, the host, a tall, handsome 20-something, walked over to the stroller and wheeled it to another part of the restaurant. It didn't seem to occur to him that this might make us uncomfortable as he disappeared from sight. We could hear him serenading Janavi in Punjabi. because of culture or courtesy or duty, these strangers shared a tender moment with my child, something normally reserved for those closest to me. For a fleeting moment, they became part of my village. As much for their help, I was grateful for that feeling of connectedness, rare in an era increasingly defined by feelings of profound isolation. Distance, she concludes the essay, is not always safety. I'm going to say that again. Distance is not always safety. Indeed, the opposite might well be true. We often forget, my friends, my beloveds, that we need the forest, that our roots and our groundedness, our sense of connection, comes in many languages, in Spanish and Punjabi, that it's all wrapped up in all of each other of every age. And the more isolated we become, the less resilient we feel. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on my own in this vast world with its large problems. I don't want to be left to my own devices. I need you, and we need each other, because together we cannot be broken. So may it be, and amen.
I come from Finland, and resilience is a cultural trait. We even have a special word in Finnish for resilience. It's sisu, which just happens to be my last name. Sisu means determination to meet your goals, gumption, chutzpah, that kind of word. We even have a mug with the word on it, and it's we have lots of stickers. Cars have sisu on them. I chose that last name for myself when I went through a very hard time. I am very proud of my heritage and know that this resilience and determination and hope for a better life is what has taken Finland to its present status of having the best education system in the world. And recently, I saw an article about how they have totally eradicated homelessness. Not an easy thing to do. Also on a side note, Finland's top five leaders are all women under 35. Yay. With the present challenges that our world is facing, I think resilience and determination are greatly needed so we can effect change. I am an optimist and believe that the human spirit is resilient and we can rise and create a better world. What lessons of resilience or stories of rising and thriving have you been given by your ancestors? The ancestors of this place, our First Nations people, have always showed amazing resilience in all the challenges that they have faced and continue to face. So our Share the Plate this month is Raven, respecting Aboriginal values and environmental needs, a small but mighty registered charitable organization whose mission is to raise legal funds, defense funds, to help Indigenous peoples in Canada defend their treaty rights and integrity of their traditional lands and cultures. There is more information in the hallway. We will now pass our offertory baskets, and there will be no candlelighting today. And as the baskets are passed, we ask you to sing, help us in singing the hymn, Faith is a Forest.
Our theme this month is resilience. And people often say resilience is when you can bounce back after something difficult. But I don't like that definition. When we have faced something difficult, Maybe we've had to change job or school when we didn't really want to. Or maybe someone close to us is sick or even dies. The challenges we face change us. Part of our work in healing from these challenges is to allow ourselves to be changed, even when we don't want to. In healing, we find a new center, a place of stability that holds what we've been through and supports us in facing our next challenge. Perhaps here we can take inspiration from the trees. Trees are deeply and firmly rooted in the ground. I used to see them as stuck, passive, unable to move. I thought they had to put up with whatever came their way, rain or shine, hungry deer or nesting bird. They had no control. I couldn't see their resilience. The documentary, 1,000 Invisible Cords, which is available free online, and I recommend you watch it, shows how trees can defend themselves from predators, shape their environments, and how each tree is an individual, just like us. The book, The Hidden Life of Trees, details how trees can communicate and take care of each other, and they form rich communities, just like we aspire to do. As Reverend Shauna mentioned, trees communicate with each other through their root systems, and they also send messages by releasing chemicals into the air. It's kind of like a tree text message, which I think is really awesome. What I think is really awesome is that even though we don't see those messages, and we didn't even know they existed until pretty recently, our bodies still receive them. Those same phytochemicals or plant chemicals that the trees release to send messages to each other are what helps us get healthier and boost our immune system and make us more relaxed and happy when we walk in the forest. We are only just beginning to understand how the trees communicate with each other and take care of each other. I don't really know if it's true, but when I'm in the forest, I like to think that the trees see me and that they are sending me these secret text messages to make me healthier and happier. So when I feel sickly or sad, I always like to go to the forest to spend a little time with my tree friends.